Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My co-hosts for this one are going to be Jeremy Schilling at JT Schill 20 and Chris Felico, Saved by Grace without the E in there, and it's purchased by. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. There's been quite a few rumors circling around Alex Bregman recently being shopped around or talked about, and at least one person thinks Bickley and Dan Bickley from Bickley and Marotta said that it's only a matter of time before the Diamondbacks get Alex Bregman. I think that's a done deal, to be honest with you, adding that Bregman wants to live in Arizona year-round the same way that Corbin Burns did last season. Credit to AZ Sports from the Bickley and Marotta show. So, Chris, why don't you take us away? What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm not shocked. At this point in Alex Bregman's career, I don't necessarily know if winning is the priority. He's won World Series. I think it's about getting that last payday at this point, which is why you hire the agent that he has. So to me, it makes the most sense. I mean, he's, I think, from New Mexico, resides in Arizona in the offseason. So I think going to the Diamondbacks would make sense if that's where his priorities are as far as getting money. Because I do think at this point, unless there's some sort of emergence of another team, I know that you had mentioned in the war room that there might be this sentiment that the Tigers are jumping in on Alex Bregman. I don't necessarily know if I buy that because I feel like if the Tigers were truly serious, they have the money. They could have just gotten that deal done. Like, why even put it out there at this point unless you're just trying to drive the price up for other teams, et cetera. Again, I've been pretty much on the same point. I don't want Alex Bregman back in Boston. It keeps scaring me that he's attached to us. But as Jeremy says, the more that he's attached to us, the more he's probably not coming back. So maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those easy ones for me. If he's going to Arizona or Detroit, I will help pack his bags. The emotional drama and turmoil of him being a leader in the clubhouse and then wanting to talk about a contract extension, opting out before the season was over, I think just rubbed me the wrong way. He left 2 years and $80 million on the table thinking he's going to get a $175 million deal. Perhaps he forgot the Boston Red Sox don't invest that kind of money on players that are on the wrong side of 30 and also injury prone and or have had injury problems that prevented them from playing the full season, as Jeremy leans in very pensively. That's all I got about Bregman. I don't see him coming to Boston. It's not happening. You know, if Arizona really is that much of a done deal, Detroit, they've got the money to get him. But at this point, he's not coming to Boston. So I don't know. Jeremy, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, 0% chance he comes back. I'm not going to go into my whole John Henry's cheap and runs it like an asset. But that's a factor. Look, I'm not with Chris where I like don't want the player at all. Would I want Bregman on the 2026 Red Sox? Yeah. Do I necessarily want him on the 2030 Red Sox? I do not. And unless they're going to sweeten the pot in a yearly deal and pay him more than $40 million, like if they pay him 2 years, $50 million, could he come play? Yeah. Are they going to do it? 0.0% chance. The other thing I can't stand about these reports this time of year is this guy who I'm sure is good at his job and great locally, who I have never heard of, says it's a done deal. It's been 2 days. If it's a done deal, he's signing. Like it's this, you know, there's obviously Passan and the legit guys, but there's all these guys, and we have them here in Boston. We could probably name them, but we won't, that just throw these things up against the wall, and the internet like feeds on it. And it's like, at this point in my Red Sox fandom, I scroll right past this stuff. Like I read maybe a line. I'm like, all right, you have no idea what you're talking about. Bregman is a mercenary, which is absolutely fine. I don't blame the player. He has no loyalty to Houston. He has no loyalty to the Red Sox. He has no loyalty to the Diamondbacks. He's going to the highest bidder that is somewhat of a contender. Like, obviously, the Pirates aren't going to offer him $175 million. So I'm not concerned that he's going to end up on some bottom dweller. But, like, he's going to the highest bidder of a team that's trying to win. That's all that's going to happen. And what happens in these moments is the agent, especially the agent, uses these personalities to try to create leverage. So on the same day you hear, oh, the Tigers are a real bidder. Oh, the Diamondbacks were a real bidder, but the Red Sox are still in it. Well, first of all, no, they're not. All of it is to drive the price tag up and create leverage for the player to get the best possible deal. So look, I have no idea what he's thinking. I really don't. I don't think he's going to get top dollar from the Red Sox, so he's not coming here. I don't know where he wants to play. I don't know that anybody outside of his agent and the player really know how he feels, other than to say, I think we can all agree, he just wants the most money.
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Jeremy, you're absolutely right in the sense that the only people that know are nobody. Because if it was a done deal, it would have already happened by now. You know, you got Bellinger still in the market, Bichette still in the market, Bregman still in the market, Kyle Tucker still in the market. Like, all these names are still there. They haven't signed with anybody. You know, you got one person who's saying it's going to be the Cubs, the Blue Jays, the Diamondbacks, and, you know, who knows, right? Red Sox aren't listening to that, but the Red Sox are still very much in talks about it. Chris, you totally hit the nail on the head there. If the Red Sox really were in on them, we probably wouldn't be hearing about it. But because we're getting flirted this idea and this narrative that he's still very much in the mix, I'm with you, man. I think he's as good as gone. And yeah, I get it. Do you want him for 1 year? Sure. I want him at a cost-friendly contract for 2026. It's not happening, and he's not doing that. You know, for 2027, if it was like a two-year deal, like, would I hate it if it was 20 years each year? No, but $40 million would be insane. $20 million's already probably where he probably was, I'm going to say in 2025, but 2026 and 2027, is he going to be a $20 million player? Because you know he's not going to be a $25, $20 million guy in 28, 29, 30. Maybe you're lucky one of those 3 years he hits, but he probably won't be more than a $10 million player one or both of those other years. So at the end of the day, no, I'm out on Breg. And it helps with the agent that he has. He's very well known, obviously, but he's also hated by a lot of people in the baseball world, and could be one of the reasons why he hasn't gotten that big contract, because he's done it before where he said, you know, you need to opt out of this contract because you're going to have a bigger market for you when you opt out. And sure enough, you opt out and there's no market. There have been a couple of people that have made that mistake before, not just in this sport, but in baseball, it's painful because all that money is fully guaranteed if you sign it. If Bregman never opts out, he's getting $80 million by the end of 2027. There's a world where maybe he doesn't see $80 million again for maybe 3 years. And then who knows what kind of contract he gets after that. So he might have lost out by doing it.
The funny thing is, this has happened to him two off seasons in a row.
You know, I think, like, it's great. Yeah.
The fact that this is his expectation is a little baffling. And I feel like it's being driven more by the agent than the player. But,
well, this is also the second offseason in a row where Boris has kind of cost his, or possibly third, depending on how things go with Bregman, where he will cost his clients money. So the days of Scott Boris being this vaunted, you know, surefire getting you top dollar is kind of something that's quickly fading and diminishing. Now, that also could be relative to the sport, the fact that we're entering a lockout, but the fact that it was, you know, 3 years ago, there might be something more there. To a couple of points, yeah, that Jeremy said, would I take Bregman 26, even the 27 season? Sure. I just don't think Bregman's going to sign another deal where he's not getting at least 3-5 years guaranteed.
100% agreed, because he's been burned twice. Yeah. Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, I agree with you, Jeremy. It seems like the MLB is the only major sport now where we have these fringe reporters that are coming from every which direction. Like NFL has two or three insiders. Basketball, two or three insiders. Hockey's got one. Baseball is like 50. Now, it also could be because players are from so many different continents and countries and whatnot. So that could be a factor. But, you know, the other thing that I take a little slight to, even though I'm not a Pirates fan, you know, Jeremy said it, but we joke on this podcast, like the lowly Pirates. Well, the lowly Pirates just outbid three teams for Okamoto. Now, I didn't want Okamoto, but I'd love my team to outbid someone for someone.
Not going to happen.
This is the world we live in with the 2026 future Boston Red Sox, where we're going to be outbid by literally everybody, including teams probably not even in this country. You know, there's going to be someone who would probably offer him more money than we would. Do you guys know how many dollars we've spent this offseason?
Zero.
$0. $0.
In free agency, Charlie, because we've spent so much in trades.
Yeah. 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 And, so where's
the now we have $30 million of Devers money to spend?
Yeah. Well, that money's been reallocated to another team in a different yacht. Yeah, exactly.
That was the closing cost to sell the Penguins.
Yeah, right, exactly. Something ridiculous. So we're going to make a little shift over now. So we're going to go into our AL East rankings of your top team to your bottom team. I don't think there's going to be too much question on the top team for the five of us or three of us for those five teams. But Chris, why don't you take it away? Who do you think is going to be the AL East team to beat?
See, that's why I joined today's episode, because I've got to try and rustle someone's feathers. I'm going to mention a guess that you're going to say the Blue Jays. I'm actually going to say that the Yankees might challenge them for the AL East, and here's why. Obviously, they're getting back Gerrit Cole. We have to take into account they finished with the same record pretty much, and that was with Gerrit Cole not being a part of the New York Yankees. And I do believe that the Toronto Blue Jays have more question marks in their starting rotation than the New York Yankees at this juncture. They have a much better lineup, top to bottom, but we all know that the Yankees seem to be able to hit when it's not the playoffs. Specifically, Aaron Judge. He can carry an offense. He can carry a team. Gun to my head, because I know it's our favorite phrase. Gun to my head, I would probably give the slight edge to the Toronto Blue Jays, but I am up in the air about it. I'm going to just say the Yankees. I think the Yankees are going to win the AL East, as much as it pains me to say. For some reason, I just feel like that starting rotation as of now, barring any trades or moves, any additions the Toronto Blue Jays make, I give the slight edge to the New York Yankees, strictly based on the fact that they have the pitching staff that they do.
So I don't think Toronto's going to all of a sudden forget how to hit. And that team, I mean, Ernie Clement hit almost 500 for a while in the postseason. I think he finished a little over 400 when everything was said and done. They made the addition of getting Dylan Cease. They gave him $210 million over 7 years. You already got Kevin Gausman in there. You have Shane Bieber in there. Jose Berrios is in there. Trey Savage is also a savage. And I think he's going to be absolutely incredible. If Bowden Francis, who's the guy who, you know, before last year was the guy, they thought he was going to be a cornerstone piece of that rotational future. If he can also figure it out, now you got six names in there. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. That's just your rotation. Their bullpen, they had, you know, you have Hoffman as your closer. I'm trying to remember the guy that gave up the home run to Judge. Was that Varland? I think it was Varland. Varland gave up the home run. He was also really, really good. You have a ridiculous offense in that team. And if Bo Bichette does come back to Toronto, if, you know, Kyle Tucker doesn't end up going there, unless they somehow figure out a way to get both, even with Gerrit Cole, that's not enough. I just don't think it's enough, because the Yankees always seem to put all the pressure on Aaron Judge, who has still won zero World Series titles. He's played in zero game sevens last time I checked. So I think it's going to be, sadly, I mean, I think it's going to be another repeat of the Toronto Blue Jays and the Los Angeles Dodgers. These are the teams that are absolutely on fire, on point, spending the money, filling holes that they need to fill. And on paper, they're going to be two of the best teams, probably two of the three best teams in baseball in 26. Jeremy?
To me, it's the Blue Jays. They've locked up Vlad. Dylan Cease is a nice addition. They're just the most complete team. Ownership is completely dedicated to winning. So that, to me, that, and this is something I'm always thinking about when I'm doing these predictions, is if somebody goes down, they'll go get somebody to replace them. They'll spend at the deadline in both money and assets. And if it's close, come August 1, and they need a boost, they'll get it. And I also don't think they're done this offseason. I fully expect them to sign Bichette to a lucrative contract, and I think he'll continue to play there. And if for whatever reason that doesn't work out, I think that's why Bregman's not signed. So, you know, they will be better before pitchers and catchers report in 6 weeks. So they're, to me, hands down. Gerrit Cole, I mean, look, he is coming back. He's a pop. I don't know how healthy he's going to be right away and when he's going to be fully ramped up, but I think it's clearly Blue Jays Yankees.
Yeah. I think, and again, if they add players, I would agree. I would give the edge to the Toronto Blue Jays. I think the question mark for me when it comes to the starting rotation is I see Berrios taking a step back. He's also not really been a huge game changer for the Toronto Blue Jays. Gausman, what scares me is that there might have been some flare-ups in the injury that he had earlier in the season in that right shoulder, and that appeared in the playoffs, specifically in the World Series. I don't know if that's going to materialize into something bigger, and if it does, that's where I kind of get a little bit scared. But points well taken. I mean, Gerrit Cole has had some injuries, but when healthy, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, he's the best starter between both rotations, whether we like it or not. Not necessarily in the playoffs, but winning a division. But again, I think it's like 1A, 1B when you talk about these two teams. Again, if nothing changes, if the Toronto Blue Jays keep adding, then there's no doubt in my mind I would crown them AL East champs.
Now, I think I know who you're going to say second. So it's just going to be the top two teams, I'm pretty sure, are going to be aligned for us. You had the Yankees going first. You have the Blue Jays being second best team.
Yeah, again, if nothing changes, I would say they're the 1B to the Yankees 1A at this current moment.
Jeremy, I think you have the Yankees second, right behind Toronto.
Yeah, I think it's clear. I think it's Blue
Jays. Yeah, it's very...
And then there's a big expanse.
So pretty clear agreement there. You know, if you don't have one, you have the two. The two is the first one. The issue that I have with the Yankees is we still don't know what Gerrit Cole is going to look like after that injury. How consistent is he going to be? You got Cam Schlittler, who did very well in the postseason against the Red Sox, but didn't, you know, replicate that same level of tenacity after that. You lost your closer. You've lost a couple other pieces. Trent Grisham, you bluffed and he called it, and he's getting $22 million this year. I don't think he's going to replicate that. Jazz Chisholm, has he already signed his contract? Because I don't think his arbitration number has been dictated. You got David Bednar, who's another closer. They went and did what the Dodgers did. They went out and got a bunch of closers. They got Camilo Duvall. They got David Bednar. You had Devin Williams. He's now gone. So you had a boatload of closers. You signed Paul Blackburn for a couple million, but whatever to that. I think there's still too many question marks for the Yankees that the Toronto Blue Jays don't have in their, you know, in their list of problems. They get one more bat, either Kyle Tucker or Bo Bichette, and you're just about set. If you're the Yankees, you still have a couple more holes to fill. So that's one of the reasons why I had the Yankees second. Anything else that you wanted to add, Jeremy?
No.
Cool. Chris, who'd you have as the third best team in the AL East?
It's between the Sox and the Orioles for me. I don't like the way that we're currently constituted at this point. As far as like the infield, we still have no power in this lineup that I can 100% count on. And I feel like they were so bad last year, but I really feel like they're going to bounce back. I know they got a lot of young players, which is what we're counting on as Boston Red Sox fans. I see the Orioles taking a step up. I think that Shane Baz trade is going to work wonders for them. And I could see them kind of coming right back to where everyone expected them to be last year and being third place.
So I have the Orioles as the clear third best team here. I think with their rotation, they probably have the third best setup from like 1 to 5. I'm not just going to talk about their ace. They went out, they got a closer. They got Ryan Helsley. They signed him to a deal. There's a first baseman that we didn't get. We didn't get Pete Alonso. He's going to Baltimore. There's that situation that happened. Adley Rutschman, I think, is going to take a step up. You got, Jackson Holliday is in there as well. I mean, you don't have to deal with the nightmare of Santander. I just think that the Orioles right now, they're just lining themselves up to be the third best team. And, you know, they're probably maybe a chip away from being a clear-cut 3 and maybe a 2 if the Yankees or Toronto Blue Jays falter. So, I mean, you still have Gunnar Henderson there too, you know? So Baltimore is a really good young team. If they can put their pieces together, I think that they're going to be that much better. They traded for the Angels outfielder. I'm drawing a blank on his name. He was the better outfielder in the Angels. Hold on. I got to look at Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward got traded from the Angels over. And last year he had 36 homers, 103 RBIs. Yes, his batting average was a little weak, hitting .247. But I think with a lineup now with additional protection, sky's the limit for Baltimore. So I have them as the third team. Jeremy, anything you want to add? Or?
Well, I haven't gotten yet, but yes, I'd like to add something, Charlie. See, to me, the Rays, Orioles, and Sox are the little brother to the Blue Jays and Yankees, because, again, what sets the Blue Jays and Yankees apart is their desire from ownership down to want to win. These three teams are middling it. With the Rays, probably even less than that. My problem and why I don't know, I think the Sox could finish in last. You have Mayer, who hasn't finished a professional season healthy. You have Roman Anthony, who didn't previously have an issue. He goes down. He doesn't finish the season. So, you know, where are we at with key pieces being able to play the majority of 162 games? The one thing I'll say is we have Garrett Crochet, and if he replicates what he did last year, no one else has him in the East. And I think for that reason, assuming the health of some of these younger players and their continuing to get better, I think they could finish third. But again, it's like it's a complete crapshoot because there's still holes in the lineup. You know, right as of right now, we don't, I mean, I assume it's going to be Mayer, but we don't technically have a third baseman. I'd put the Sox there just because I don't want to be negative, but I mean, we're a Roman Anthony lat pull, Meyer sprained wrist, Crochet's not healthy the whole year away from being in last place. It's that thin. That's how thin we're built right now.
Yeah. Reality is going to settle in real quick, I think, in 2026 for the Boston Red Sox, if we do have any one of those injuries for any of the players that you just mentioned, Jeremy. If Crochet is down, especially, good luck.
What if Story goes down?
Same
thing. What if Story goes down? What if your guys that have had injury histories all get nicked? And I assume nothing from Cassis. I hope Story replicates 2025. It's been really fun watching him. Easy guy to root for. But he has an injury history. Meyer has an injury history. Roman Anthony's injury at a key point in last season is concerning. I mean, guys, it's we're relying on either youth or guys with injury histories. It's just the way it is. And why is that? Because those type of players are cheaper.
Yeah. If Story and Crochet go down, how many wins does this team get?
Story and Crochet?
Forget it. If Sorry. Crochet goes down, just even if it's just Crochet, you're talking about...
You're under 500 easily.
Yeah, you're a high 60s.
Are you a 100 loss team?
No. No, because there's too much...
If Story and Crochet get hurt, yes.
Because there's too much pitching depth. One of the things that they have done positively is build some depth. Assuming it doesn't change, because last time I was on, we were talking about Bayo being on the block, but there's too much depth down into Worcester, guys that are going to be pitching out of the bullpen that you could lengthen and get them back in the rotation. So if the pitching is what we think it is. I don't think you're going to, you can't lose 100 games with the amount of quality, I think, arms we have.
You touched up on something, Jeremy. We have so much pitching depth that we traded Chris Sale to the Atlanta Braves for Vaughn Grissom, who then proceeded to not do anything. We were so stacked with starters that we shipped him away. The Red Sox need to start focusing on the Red Sox and not other teams and trying to make them better, because we're like slowly turning into like the little farm for Major League Baseball. Like all the pieces that are either good or could be good are going to get moved because we're trying to shell off money or get rid of contracts and stuff. You're not going to get rid of any of the bigger contracts unless you trade it like a proper piece that's on a pretty awesome deal. Like Rafaela, he would probably be one of the names to go if you're trying to shell a boatload of money. Like if we're trying to become like an $80 million payroll team. Chris, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that to what Jeremy was saying, that here's why I think it could be, even with the pitching depth, a 100-loss team. A lot of the depth that we have is pitchers that pitch to contact. And if Story gets hurt, like even with Story, our defense isn't great. Not ratings-wise. He gets hurt. More than likely, Mayer's going to have to slide over there. He might get hurt, but let's just say it's just Story. Think about our defense. Like how many unnecessary runs we will give up and games that we will lose. Like we're looking at that team from the year before. How many games do we lose because we would just give up a run every single game? A run and a half, two runs.
They ran early from that game because Rafael misplayed that ball in center field. It was not a good defensive team.
Yeah, defensively across the board. I was talking about just even the infield. Thanks for reminding me. Our outfield's not that great either.
Guys, let's settle down on the 100 losses. I mean, all right.
So I'm just if you lose Story and you lose Crochet, dude.
Hold on there, Charles. I bring up the injury history to prove my point that there's a clear line of demarcation between the Yankees and the Blue Jays and the rest of the AL East. And then now we're in this mythical world where we're going to lose 100 games. While I think it's possible, it would have to be the sort of thing, possibility being very low, it's the sort of thing where the negative things would have to steamroll this team. There, you know, I just don't see it. To answer your question directly, if Crochet, and by the way, I'm not going to enter a world where we lose a guy for the year, although obviously that's a possibility. When I say Crochet goes on the IL and misses like 3 or 4 starts, you know, a month of the season, or somebody goes down, that's where I have an issue. I think guys will come back and be healthy for the most part. And the other thing is, while we're clearly not going to spend any money in free agency, I've accepted that, there's another trade coming. All right. I don't know what it is. Obviously it's so precarious with Brezel having to make it efficient. But the team that we're assessing right now, where they're going to finish, is not how we're going to go into spring training. I am convinced of that. So if that's the scenario where there's a couple injuries, this team's going to go back to that 78 to 81 win type of thing. And it's a real shame, because the truth is our window to compete is open now that all these guys are up. You sign Crochet, Roman's up, Meyer's up. Like, here's the window. And instead of doing what we all thought they were going to do, which was Henry's going to start spending and we're going to go all in, they're just extending this phase that we're in, that we're going to be in until Henry sells the team.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who do you have fourth on your list, Chris? I think we're going to fly through the last two now.
Yeah, So I agree with Jeremy as far as the tiers, although I will make – there's a distinction even between the Blue Jays and the Yankees. I would say the Blue Jays are the only team that's 100% going in for a championship, because the Yankees really haven't done much. The thing is they had such a head start for the last 3 years over everyone, when you're talking about top-to-bottom roster, that they're still competing to compete, not necessarily for a championship. So it's Blue Jays as far as the willingness and desire to win. Then there's the Yankees. Orioles are starting to creep up, but the problem is, like, they still did that trade with like their pitching staff, but then added Pete Alonso and then traded for Shane Baz, which kind of was a little bit baffling. But I would even say that they're starting to creep up on the Yankees as far as their desire to quote unquote win. The Red Sox don't have a desire to win a championship. They desire to print money. I'll give them that. The only reason I have us ahead of the Rays is I do believe that the Rays are really gearing up for post lockout to usurp the Red Sox and hopefully catch the Orioles and get themselves kind of into the Yankees camp. They've traded a lot of their talent for tons of prospects that are a little bit closer to being major league ready. I don't think that they're going to materialize into a team that's all of a sudden going to catch the Sox, because we do have Garrett Crochet. We do have proven major league talent, barring injury, that should put us in a position to be able to fend them off for last place. However, barring an injury or two, or the scenario where, you know, Jeremy said, if, you know, everyone gets hurt and we're, you know, kissing potentially a 100 loss season, then, you know,
losing 100 games,
98 games on the table, possibly losing, according to Jeremy. Then, I mean, at that point, the Rays could pass us and we could be in dead last.
All right. So Jeremy and I have Toronto and then the Yankees. Third, I said Baltimore. Fourth, I have Tampa Bay. And this is really interesting, too. I don't have the Red Sox in there because I have more faith that Tampa Bay will figure out a way to plug a hole better than the Red Sox, who just seem to just continue making mistakes left and right. The Tampa Bay Rays also have only one on-paper contract in the 2026 year, like guaranteed, and that's Steven Matz. Almost everybody else is arbitration eligible. They can completely build a team around whoever they want. Shane McClanahan's ARB4 in 2027. He didn't play last year. Yandy Diaz is going to take a major step up, I think, in my opinion. They got Cedric Mullins from Baltimore. Obviously, he signed a free agent after he got traded. He signed a $7 million deal, or maybe $8 million deal. I forget what it is on paper. But, I mean, this is going to be a really interesting opportunity for Tampa Bay to either supplant themselves and say, okay, cool, let's see what we can do right now and then plug in those proper holes, because there's going to be plenty, but they're going to have the money to do it. I got Tampa Bay. I think just they're a very exciting young team too. Shane McClanahan could have been one of the best pitchers in the last 5-6 years. Unfortunately, his injuries have just been on another level. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much time this man has missed in Major League Baseball. And the guy's a supreme talent. Like, the guy has the ability to go 8, maybe 9-1 in a 10 game set. If you were to play 10 games, he's that good. And unfortunately, we're not going to see that because he keeps on getting injured. But what if 2026 ends up being that year where everything clicks? You know? So I was curious to know what was going to happen to Tampa Bay when they lost Isaac Paredes, and they're just not going to be hurting. There's always another one next in line. Tampa Bay already has the next one or two people in line when certain contracts get traded or sent packing. So I got Tampa Bay fourth. Jeremy, who do you have?
I have the Devil Rays last and the Orioles four.
Okay. I got the Sox last. I mean, look,
you drop a bat like Alonso in the middle of the lineup, it's not just Alonso's production that gets affected by it. It's, you know, the protection he affords whoever they hit third. You know, and I mentioned this when we recorded a show with regards to hopefully signing somebody like Alonso. And, you know, I think that Baltimore's lineup is going to be a stronger lineup, not from just that hole. And, you know, I don't know, man, these bottom three, I don't know. They're not committed to winning. We're all the same. You know, we're running an extension of the Devil Rays program. So I don't know, man, I that's the way I think just right now, you know, as we,
Jeremy,
are in our last show of the year.
The Orioles have spent money. The Tampa Bay Rays have spent money. The Boston Red Sox still have dust on their number because it's been so long since they spent money.
That's where we're at. The difference is, and let me give context then, because it's a decent point without context. The context is, coming into the season, we all collectively, for the most part, agreed that we were missing a number two starter in the rotation, a first baseman and a third baseman, and we were probably going to use our outfield surplus to at least fill one need. Okay, so it's not our preferred choice, but we have a first baseman, right? They go and get Sonny Gray, who's not a number two, but it does lengthen the rotation a little bit. We're not a team that's like rudderless. Like, the outfield, if anything, we have too many starters. All right. Story, assuming health, is your shortstop. You're set at catcher. You have the Tarik Skubal, not the number two best pitcher in the American League, maybe baseball. Like, it's not rudderless. Now, we haven't plugged the holes yet as we record today, but we didn't have issues all over the place that lead us to believe that they're not going to be competitive next year.
I don't disagree with you, Jeremy. I think really for you and me, it's really the Orioles and the Red Sox we could flip, right? Because I have them below the Orioles, you have the Orioles below the Sox. And all your points are well taken. There's two things I would say. I don't necessarily know if Sonny Gray is that much of an upgrade over Giolito. I don't. Now, granted, I haven't seen him pitched. We get to the playoffs, great. That'll be telling, because if we do, he couldn't do any worse than Giolito, who did nothing for us. But I just don't feel like we've really filled any of the holes. And here's where I would give a little bit of pushback, is that we both have young talent that we're relying on, the Orioles and the Red Sox. Theirs haven't been injured.
Theirs haven't been what?
Injured. All of ours have. And the chances that not one of those three are going to get injured again at some point, I mean, it's slim to none. And we both fill the first base need. Theirs is Pete Alonso. Ours is Contreras. Yeah. To me, that's where the difference is between the two teams at this point. Yeah, we have Crochet, but I mean, they did get Shane Baz. I'll take Crochet. But like, beyond Crochet, I just don't know if we have enough. Like, I don't even know if there's another pitcher in our rotation where I say gives us better than a 50-50 coin flip. Like, if I need a game, like in your scenario, let's say Garrett Crochet goes on the IL, even if it's just for a short period of time, but you're in a skid. And we relied on Crochets every time. We were like, okay, you got to stop the skid. He did it. There's no one better than 50-50 in our rotation. The Orioles have other guys beyond Shane Baz that are better than 50-50. And that, to me, is the biggest difference between the two teams.
True stoppers are pretty rare, Chris.
No, I agree.
Some teams don't have one, you know. I mean, I get your point. But it's rare. We've been kind of spoiled over the years because we had Pedro and then we had Kurt. And I think Beckett, to a certain extent, was a stopper. And Crochet is absolutely 100% a stopper. And I get the need for that to prevent prolonged losing streaks. But I don't know that anyone's got more than one stopper.
Well, no, I don't. Not more than one stopper, but better than a coin toss. Like, the Yankees have better than a coin toss. I would say Max Fried. I know that he had some rough goings. He's better than a coin toss at stopping.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
Well, they've got Garrett Crochet and Max Fried. So I'm not Garrett Crochet. Garrett Cole. Both of those guys are better. Well, Garrett Cole is almost a sure.
And they're gonna be better than us.
Yeah. 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 No, for sure. Tampa Bay, and I forgot to mention it. We had Jules also mentioned Junior Caminero from Tampa Bay is also there. 45 homer guy. He's been in the league for a couple years and he's still got plenty of arbitration eligibility left. He's going to be an absolute stud at the hot corner for Tampa Bay. We don't have that. We're not there. So for everybody that might be saying, oh, well, this guy just hates the Red Sox, because I'm sure they're gonna be a couple idiots that say something like that. Well, no, I mean, you got teams out there that are spending money and you have teams that are making proper moves to, you know, bolster either the rotation, the bullpen, just the lineup. And we're just playing checkers when everyone else is playing chess. That's what it feels like. And it's frustrating. We're drawing
with crayons. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. With the R's reversed, you know, something stupid. Knock off brand
to save money.
Yeah. It's dumb. Crayons. No, it's really stupid. And it's harmful to our health. I mean, this is hard. It's hard to watch just an absolute just cluster ball, for lack of a better term, just take place during the offseason. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. There's obviously, we're all aligned on the top two teams. There's a little bit of variance for the bottom three teams. We'll just wait and see. It's going to be very interesting to see. Hopefully, there's another trade that happens that benefits the Boston Red Sox. Anything else that either one of you gents wanted to add?
I hate it here.
Go Pats.
Yeah. Patriots, they were on fire earlier. I think Drake May had four or five touchdown passes. So, yeah, Patriots are still doing big things. If
Five. He had five. Wow, that's insane. Yeah, I left it at four before the half was over. So he had one more. That's incredible. That is going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.